The world can be a very dangerous place.
The compounds in Myanmar are run by criminal gangs.
American forces snatched Venezuela's president.
You hit us, we'll hit you back, again and again.
But behind every conflict is a very interesting story. I'm Matt Bevan, and my show, if you're listening, takes a look at global stories from the safety of my basement. Find us on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me make one thing very clear. I am not Daniel Andrews. I am not Jacinta Allen.
From Wandjeri Country, I'm Luke Sidham-Dunton, and today on The Breakfast Wrap, Ben Carroll lays out his immediate priorities as the new Premier of Victoria.
My first action as Premier will be to call a Royal Commission into the construction sector. We will also immediately establish a special prosecutor that will work in parallel with the Royal Commission. And we will strengthen IBAC, giving them the follow-the-money powers now.
You're going to hear from a former Victorian Labor Premier, also the ex-commissioner of the state's anti-corruption watchdog, about this new inquiry into the construction sector.
They're extraordinary. This is a historic, unprecedented public scandal. And it's that sort of situation which usually calls for a Royal Commission.
There is plenty to look at in Victoria, just a few months out from a state election. All of that is coming up from the Radio National Breakfast team on The Breakfast Wrap. So we're going to begin where we did yesterday, but with a pretty major development, because Victoria has a new premier. As you heard at the top of the wrap yesterday, Jacinta Allen had been forced out of the top job just 4 months out from the state election, with a pretty defiant message to her Labor colleagues.
I was prepared to put my record and my plan to a ballot of members, as our rules allow. I believe I would have won. But doing so this close to an election takes up valuable resources, including the most precious of one, time.
The former Premier Jacinta Allen speaking yesterday. It was a pretty bad scramble to bring you all the details out of Spring Street in Melbourne in yesterday's episode of The Wrap. But shortly after you heard the episode, the Labor caucus unanimously voted in a new Premier, Ben Carroll. And he said that his first action would be to call a Royal Commission into the construction sector. He was promising to do things differently from his predecessors. That is what we're going to be focusing on shortly. But before we dive into that, with the former Labor Premier Steve Brax and also the state's former anti-corruption watchdog, I want to bring in our political correspondent Tom Crowley, because it was a truly chaotic morning in Victoria's Parliament.
First of all, there was this unedifying caucus meeting, an ugly spat that was amplified literally by the thin walls in that old building on Spring Street. Reporters gathering outside could hear them screaming at each other. It seems to be because Allen, having sort of bowed out before the meeting and giving a broadly graceful speech, then angered her colleagues by signing on to her ally Sonia Kilkenny's surprise tilt for the leadership. She didn't have the numbers, but there was this brief and terrifying prospect that it might then drag out for weeks and some sort of member vote. It all melted away and Carroll prevailed. It was an unusual first speech. It was very solemn in tone, really, and it was much less about who he is. And as you heard, very much saying, look, I'm not everything that has come before in this 12-year government. He kind of basically told the critics, you were right about everything. You were right about integrity, debt and crime, and I am going to change all three of them. Clearly, it's all about the looming election, which is not far away. His task is to dampen those most potent attack lines of One Nation and the Liberals by agreeing with them. He's going to have a Royal Commission into the construction sector. The suburban rail loop is up in the air. We'll see what voters think. It's going to be an unusual election now with every party essentially running against the incumbent. We'll see whether that works for Labor.
Tom Crowley there. Well, Steve Brax is a former Victorian Labor Premier. He was in office from 1999 until 2007. He actually came to power in the same election that saw Jacinta Allen enter Parliament 27 years ago. He came on Radio National Breakfast this morning to discuss her ousting.
Was the removal of Jacinta Allen politically justified, in your view?
Well, I think her caucus colleagues believe that she would not win the next election, and they wanted to have a change of leadership, and that's their prerogative. And I think faced with that situation, she had no option but to resign, and she did it very well. Jacinda Allen has been a great contributor in public life in Victoria over a long period of time. She was first elected in 1999. She's been a Member of Parliament for 27 years. She's been a minister in several governments, including the government that I led, for about 19 of those 27 years. And she's been Premier for 3 years. She's achieved so much over such a long period of time, and she'll go down as one of the great contributors to public life in Victoria.
Does the change of leaders improve Labor's chances in the state election?
I think it does. I think Ben Carroll will bring a fresh approach to the government. He'll market himself as not a fourth term Labor leader, but as a new Labor leader, a new Labor leader in a new term with a new set of policies and programs. And that's really what he's going to set out to do. I know it's a very short time between now and November to get that across, but he'll do everything he can to do that. And he's already started by holding a Royal Commission, announcing that he'll hold a Royal Commission into the building and construction sector, that he'll increase the powers of the IBAC, the corruption body here in Victoria. So he's hit the ground running, and there's more to come, more policy announcements about what sort of government he would lead and the forward-looking, forward-focus government that he's going to lead.
In retrospect, politically, was it a mistake for Jacinta Allen not to agree to a royal commission looking into the construction sector while she was still in office?
Look, the former Premier probably should have had a royal commission. It was a very difficult situation, really. I know that she felt that a royal commission wouldn't achieve the aims that people thought it would. That's water under the bridge now, and essentially what has happened is that the new Premier, Ben Carroll, has moved very quickly, very effectively, and said there is going to be a Royal Commission.
Does Victorian Labor fear the consequences of this Royal Commission?
Oh, I don't think so. I think, you know, an independent Royal Commission examining what has happened in the building construction sector is a good thing.
Why hold off? Why wasn't it called during Jacinta Allen's time?
I think she thought that there were other mechanisms of examining what was happening, and she pursued those other mechanisms. But essentially, as I said, that's water under the bridge now, and I think the new Premier has really said that he wants a Royal Commission, and that's the right way to go.
What's more important, protecting the party or ensuring full public accountability? Because those other options pursued by Jacinta Allen have not revealed the full scale of what's happened here, and we're talking about billions of dollars.
Well, we'll be protecting the Labor Party by having a Royal Commission. I think it's a good thing. And I believe this will be an effective mechanism of assuring that there's accountability in the building and construction sector in the future.
Did you counsel Jacinta Allen during her time in office that the Royal Commission may be a good way to go during her term, that she should do it?
No, I did not offer that counsel to Jacinta Allen, and it wasn't my place to do that. She had her own sources of advice, and she was able to pursue that effectively. The new Premier has made the right steps.
Ben Carroll made it very clear yesterday that he was not Daniel Andrews nor Jacinta Allen. What did you make of that comment, the way that he framed it?
Well, I think he said really that he was going to be his own man, that that he, you know, don't judge him on past premiers. He's going to be his own person. I think that's a good thing, really. You know, he could have said he's not going to be Steve Brax as well, and that's probably true. I really think what he's saying effectively is that this is a new government, a new focus, new policies which are coming forward, and that's how he's going to be judged in the future.
How do you see the lay of the land for this election? The Liberal Party, the Coalition, has had its own problems to deal with, but One Nation has been polling strongly in opinion polls. How do you see it?
Oh, it's going to be tough. It's a tough election. It's very hard after a government's been in for 12 years going for a fourth term. It's only been done once before in Victoria's history. That was under Henry Bolte, the 1960s. So it's not going to be easy, but Labor has a large majority and it's got significant capacity to go well. It's going to be hand-to-hand combat in 88 of the seats and not just a contest between Labor and the Coalition. It's going to be a contest between Labor, Coalition and One Nation.
And that is the former Victorian Labor Premier, Steve Brax, who was in office from 1999 until 2007. Well, as you heard there, Ben Carroll has promised to take Victoria in a new direction, just 4 months out from the state election. It means distancing himself from the outgoing Premier and the big build scandal, immediately promising what Jacinta Allen had refused to consider, a royal commission. Robert Redlich, KC, is a former commissioner of the Victorian Independent Broad-Based Anti-Corruption Commission. He's long called for a royal commission into corruption in the construction sector. So, here's his interview with Sally.
What will these new powers for the anti-corruption watchdog do? We heard the new Premier outlining some of the basics there. What will that mean in practice?
Well, it will mean that, like the current ICAC in New South Wales, which has had much broader powers, IBAC will be able to pursue investigations wherever there is what we call soft corruption, corruption misconduct which may not amount to a crime, but which plainly is contrary to the public interest and in breach of the public trust which all public servants and members of parliament take when taking office. And that will give it a much broader jurisdiction, together with the ability to more readily hold public hearings. And hopefully also be able to report much more speedily following an investigation. These are really important initiatives. They've been called for the best part of 10 years without an adequate response by government.
In your view, how significant are the allegations of corruption in the big build when measured against historic corruption scandals?
They're extraordinary. I've said a number of times that this is a historic, unprecedented public scandal. And it's that sort of situation which usually calls for a royal commission. It's either that sort of situation or some other major catastrophe. And we've had over many years, when the need arose, resorted to royal commissions. The Costigan Royal Commission 40 years ago, when we had the Bottom of the Harbour scandal involving then hundreds of millions of dollars of tax dollars that were lost, a royal commission which went on for 3 years covering every aspect of the way the painters and dockers have misused their position, not just in relation to that scandal, but in much broader ways. That's exactly what this royal commission will do. It will demonstrate, I'm confidently viewing the outcomes as demonstrating the breadth of corruption which has existed in the big build.
What have you made of the previous Allen Labor government's not only refusal to hold the Royal Commission, but really being very dismissive about the allegations and the momentum towards holding a Royal Commission itself?
Look, I think it's important Victorians and more broadly Australians recognise that the interests of a political party, whatever side of the political spectrum we're talking about, will often be the enemy of integrity because the party's interests will always be placed before the public interest. And regrettably, I think the failure of the present government to embrace the needed powers which IBEC should have, the refusal of the government to, until now, agree to a Royal Commission, are an indication of a view that was taken that it would not serve the party's interests to do so. We have to recognise that politics, unfortunately, gets in the way of taking the right integrity steps.
Robert Redlich, KC, a former commissioner of the Victorian Independent Broad-Based Anti-Corruption Commission, a long-time advocate for a royal commission into corruption in the construction sector. So, for our last look at events in Victoria, we invited on the Victorian Federal Liberal MP, Dan Tehan. He's also the Shadow Minister for Energy and Emissions Reduction. He's previously been Federal Government Cabinet Minister. And Sally spoke to him about what had played out in his state.
How do you reflect on the events of yesterday? Ben Carroll's first act as Victorian Premier was to call a royal commission into the construction sector. Do you welcome that inquiry?
Oh, absolutely. We need a royal commission into the construction sector, but it's got to be a proper and thorough and serious royal commission. It's got to be one that goes and looks at all the tentacles of the CFMEU. So that what's happening with regards to the big build, what's happening with regards to big industry super, because its tentacles go in there as well. It has to be very broad reaching, and it'll be a good test for Ben Carroll to see whether he's serious about this.
Ben Carroll said his decision to put up his hand for Labor leadership wasn't an easy one, but that the stakes at the upcoming state election are too high. Let's take a listen.
Polling says Victoria is on track for Australia's first Liberal One Nation government. A Liberal One Nation government that will cut hospitals, cut schools and cut frontline services. A Liberal One Nation government that will cut childcare, cut free TAFE, and so many other services Victorians rely on.
That's the new Victorian Premier Ben Carroll there. Dan Tehan, in your view, would it be better to have a coalition slash One Nation government or another Labor government in Victoria?
Oh, look, that's just Labor Party spin, complete and utter Labor Party spin. They're cutting, Labor are cutting services and have been cutting services in Victoria. They're going to run this scare campaign again. They did it the last election. They do it federally that there'll be a cut in services. There's a $200 billion debt in Victoria. The servicing of that debt is meaning that services for education, for health, for other identity services like fire services are being cut, or they're taxing the community to death. Now, what I see and what I hear on the ground is that people want to change. And what the Liberal Party and the National Party will be doing together in coalition is to making sure that we're the ones that deliver that change.
Now, but to return Labor to the question, would it be better to have a coalition government in coalition with One Nation than to have another Labor government?
What would be best is to have a Liberal National Party coalition with a majority that can give the state the fresh start that it deserves. And that is what we will be out campaigning and doing. Now, the Labor Party will run this fear campaign about Liberals and One Nation. They've got nothing else to run on. They have been a complete and utter
failure. So the coalition can rule out joining up with One Nation?
Look, that those decisions are, you know, hypothetical questions. What we are focused on
doing... They're pretty important
doing,
for voters, are they not?
No. Well, the question for voters is, do you want a fresh start? Who's the best to deliver that fresh start? And the Liberals and the Nationals are putting together a serious alternative approach which will change the direction of the state of Victoria and change it away from the absolute abject failure that has been presided over by Jacinta Allen and Ben Carroll over the last 1,000 days.
And that was the Victorian Federal Liberal MP, Dan Tehan, talking to Sally Sara on Radio National Breakfast this morning, tying up our coverage of what has been a chaotic and decisive 24 hours in Victorian politics. Well, let's end with what has been a truly fascinating day of foreign affairs. The Israeli Prime Minister and the Ukrainian President, mind you, they're both in Washington, D.C. today for the funeral of the late Republican Senator Lindsey Graham. And they've both met with the U.S. President Donald Trump. Here's how the Israeli Prime Minister characterised his meeting, touting progress with the president on Iran.
I just finished an excellent meeting with President Trump. When I say excellent, it's not just lip service. A conversation with full partnership, mutual support, understanding of the common goal to ensure that Iran does not have nuclear weapons. This is one of the best conversations I've had with the President of the United States.
Now, that is a remarkably different tone to what the US President conveyed earlier on Fox News, amid reports the Israeli Prime Minister would try to convince him Iran was fortifying an underground nuclear site.
I don't need Bibi to tell me that. Bibi's telling me that because he wants me to stay involved. I mean, right. I don't necessarily. We have the finest, because of Space Force, we have the greatest cameras in the world focused on. We know exactly what's going on.
So what do we make of this meeting? What does it tell us about the dynamic between the pair and the state of the conflicts in the Middle East? Laser Berman is the diplomatic reporter at the Times of Israel, and he spoke with Sally Sara.
So we know the immediate reactions from both sides. Both are saying that it was very positive. Prime Minister Netanyahu put out a video before he went to the memorial service for Senator Graham that said this was one of the best conversations he has ever had with President Trump. The head of Israel's public diplomacy effort said that she shared an anecdote that Netanyahu told Trump that they're talking about Lindsey Graham, and Netanyahu said that he was Israel's number one friend, and Trump said, actually, I'm the number one friend, he was the number two friend. So they're trying to show that they're on the same side, well, of course, on the same side, but they are aligned, that they share the goal of stopping Iran from reaching a nuclear weapon. But we all know that the way to do so is where the argument is. Of course, Trump has a lot of pressures at home that Netanyahu doesn't have, because there's a midterm election and the U.S. economy is absolutely a factor there. Netanyahu has other concerns. He also has an election, but he needs to show that he knows how to finish some of these wars, especially after being in office during October 7th. And he has not finished the war in Gaza, the war in Lebanon, or the war in Iran. So the way to get there to that shared goal is where there is still, some room for argument or disagreement.
Indeed. Laser, what do we know about the differing views from the US and Israeli leaders on how to get there?
So we know that the Israelis generally favor a more aggressive approach, that they think that there is work that still needs to be done in terms of degrading Iran's nuclear program, in terms of striking some of the sites that have been reconstructed somewhat since the February-March fighting. But in terms of the timeline, we don't know what they talked about yet. You know, those are obviously the type of things that they're not quick to leak out to the media. But there is certainly a feeling that Trump is considering a more significant military strike, that that's not off the table. But it seems like the Israelis are being very, very intentional about trying to show that there is not a disagreement and that they are not trying to push Trump in any direction. A senior Israeli official told me that. She said very, very explicitly that we don't tell Trump what to do. We present our interests. We try to explain our position, but no one tells Trump what to do.
Laser, you normally travel with the Israeli Prime Minister on his international trips, but this time he left journalists off the plane. Why is that?
Well, I think primarily because he doesn't really like talking to the press that isn't seen as on his side. So this is the third time in the past year that he has not let people on, or excuse me, has not let journalists on. I will say on this trip, some of the arrangements were different. And what officials say to me is that has to do with security concerns about drones and the like. That could be, but that could also be an excuse because, again, he is not someone who eagerly runs to the Israeli press if they're not seen as on his side.
That was Laser Berman, the Times of Israel's diplomatic correspondent, talking to Sally Sara on Ready National Breakfast. Well, thank you for listening to all of those interviews, looking at events in Washington, D.C., but mainly looking at events in Spring Street in Melbourne, the changing of the guard, a new premier in Victoria, just 4 months out from a state election, and one of the main focuses of this new leader, a royal commission into alleged corruption in the construction sector. All the interviews were produced by the Radio National Breakfast team, and the Breakfast Wrap was today produced by Eddie Diamond. I'm Luke Siddham-Dundon. See you tomorrow.